accept. Learn to accept the lowest common denominator, Sarah. You're gonna get along just fine in this world.
I think I'm just mad because of Britney. I think it's all just stemming from that.
Now, is that... How do I put this? I see a splotch of pink over there. Now, is that her underwear? Or is that something that has been put over her private area? Or...
Perhaps her stained undergarments.
If you're staining your undergarments pink, get thee to a gynecologist now. Or is her swimsuit area just aglow with the joy of giving life?
She was airing it out again.
Oh! Why do you have to say that?
Oh.
Airing it out.
That made me lose my appetite.
Airing out her dirty laundry, that is.
Without the dirty laundry.
Okay. See... Well, never mind. We'll get back.
Do you want me to put the uncensored one up?
No. No, I do not. Really, what? It's not just that you've seen one, you've seen them all. I've seen Britney's. I saw it yesterday. What a weird time we live in now that I can say that yesterday I saw...
And the day before.
Britney's business. There was a time when you really had to work hard, become somebody...
To see, like, an areola. To, like, a piece of that. That was a huge thing. I remember when I started this vlog, like, a little nip slip was... Huge.
I wasn't going to say areola, but areola is a great word. That's not the way I was going to go with it, but that's also true, yes. I was just going to note that, I mean, there was a time if you wanted to see Britney's, up close, you had to join a band or something, or you had to become successful. If you wanted to see Winona Ryder and the All Together, you had to pick up a guitar. You had to learn how to write a song. You had to go on tour. And then eventually... And that was what eventually came with the record deal. You know what I mean? You get the backstage writer, you get the bonus, you get the swag, you get the Ferrari, and then Winona Ryder would come over and...
No, I thought you were talking about Winona Judd.
Yes.
That was when your record started to tank. You went down the scale.
I get to meet Evan Dando's wife.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Is she attractive?
She's his wife / tour manager.
Yeah.
She was cute. She was English.
Evan Dando, is he still that creamy?
He's kind of scrappy. That was my first question to my friend. I'm like, is that the one that slept with Winona Ryder?
And Evan Dando? Oh, everybody slept with Winona Ryder. Everybody, everywhere. She'll probably be by here any day now. That girl, I don't want to get sidetracked this early on into the program, I say, every day, and I'll say it again now. But the thing about Winona Ryder is... And I don't say this as a knock. I mean, what do you... some people use their money to buy exotic cars. Some people use being famous just so they can shoot up every guy in every band they ever liked. And that was Winona Ryder. I have lost track of the number of guys in bands who were romantically linked to her. Less so now. But during the 90s, there was a time in the 90s when you would just pick up the newspaper every single day. And Winona Ryder had been linked with some other guy in some band. And Johnny Depp, you know, and whoever. Well, anyway. So... I'm just saying, it's just odd that, and it's right above that horrible photograph of her mouth being unhinged, Mama Alien style. All right. Hello. It's 4 minutes and 28 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of November, the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. If you'd like to be part of our program today, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. I think everybody should just wear a shirt that just says, I've seen Britney's vagina. You know, it's like that I Kissed Justin shirt.
That is so funny.
Because
you can market that.
I've seen Britney's business. Or whatever word. I've seen Britney's flapjacks. Whatever word, however you want to describe it, that would sell because it's true. We've all there. It's just that's not a thing that happened 30 years ago. You didn't you pick up a newspaper in 1975 and there's a picture of Walter Cronkite's penis. It's just not. Or whoever. The look on Tim's face right now is worth that sentence right there. That's why I said Walter Cronkite. All right.
Maybe Britney should do a cover version of The Most Wonderful Time of the Year.
It really is just unbelievable that in the space of a week we went from never having seen Britney's to having seen it three or four, five times now.
And somebody wrote this huge tangent on my blog about how the female body is beautiful and why are we, you know, shunning Britney because...
Everything is beautiful in the right context.
It is in the right context. Not when you're, like, splaying yourself out in front of the paparazzi getting out of a car, like, drunkenly. Yeah. Not to mention she's drunk driving everywhere.
At the Chevron Snack Center.
This is... It really is true. Exactly. It's all about context and the atmosphere in which the nudity is presented. It's like you picture the most beautiful woman, you know, just conjure up in your head the idyllic vision of feminine pulchritude, and then picture her like doing a deep knee bend while lifting a 100-pound barbell over her shoulders while in the nude. See? It becomes completely and utterly unattractive. You know what I'm talking about. You picture her behind some stinging nettle shrubs in the woods, looking around for a handful of leaves at 2 a.m. Suddenly not so attractive.
Well, people aren't satisfied with just the dress blowing for the breeze from the sewer like in Marilyn Monroe days.
Seriously. All right, it's 503-733-2970 or rick@rickemerson.com. The best part about it is, and this is the final thing I'll say, and then we'll move on to some other stuff, is that this is like the second day in a row, not only that we've seen Britney's genitals, but that I come in here and you're like, had tiny, balled-up, little angry fists of rage that you were shaking at the computer. You've got, like, little, tiny, angry Lisa Simpson fists that you're waving at the monitor.
I don't know why, but looking at it, it was making me so furious. I couldn't even find anything, like, kooky to write about it. I just had to stop typing.
There really is nothing kooky to say, because there are times when reality just outstrips any commentary that you can make about it. And the idea that Britney thinks that it's a good idea to go, what did you say, airing it out? Imagine the smell in that car.
Imagine the smell, Rick.
No, seriously, because it's not just her, it's her and Paris Hilton. And who else?
And Lindsay Lohan.
Imagine the funk that comes off those leather seats, like, by the time Saturday night is done. Let's all imagine it now, shall we?
Maybe they have one of those pine tree deodorants hanging, so it wasn't that noticeable.
As long as you've got the string so you can remove it later. It's 503 from the cup in the rearview mirror. It's 503-733-2970.
You're icky today.
I'm not icky. Brittany does this to me.
I know. It's a
what really, am I going
to
say?
It's a touchy thing to talk about because now this is introduced to us and we don't really know how to deal with it.
Brittany's is now part of our daily discourse. Welcome to the new... It's morning in America, kids. Okay, it's 503. Is this Aaron? I can't really say for sure because, although I'm sure the call has been screened... Oh, thank you. There was no actual screening information on this thing labeled the call screener. That's okay. Don't worry about it. You can also email us, rick@rickemerson.com, rick@rickemerson.com, with your comments, clarifications, your conventions, your what have you. Before we do anything else, let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program our good friend Aaron.
Help me. Like you did by the lake on the boo.
Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. You know, the thing about that Geek in the City sounder is I remember we all saw Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, together. It was like you and me and... you were there, right? Weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Aaron, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, good. No, because we split up into... I think we were split into two different showings. Cause I think Scott Daly went to the one like 10 minutes before us.
Well, Scott Daly got the special Siegfried, you know, we're important people pre-screening.
Right. And it was like you and me and Joni and Chris Morris, and we're all sitting in a row. And the great thing about it is when that line was uttered, that hold me, like you did by the Lake of Naboo, we all... And that was the first time any of us had seen the film. We didn't know anything about it. We'd never watched it. We hadn't heard any spoilers. We all looked at each other because we immediately knew that was the... And the movie wasn't even halfway over at that point, and we all knew that was the single worst line George Lucas had ever written. Ever.
Pretty much, yeah.
At that moment, it all became clear.
I use it over and over again whenever I call.
Well, and then, see, and I now take a special kind of pride in the fact that I have ruined that movie, at least for substantial sections, for anybody who listens to this program. You watch Revenge of the Sith, and there's a couple of moments, and like, no, you know, I've ruined that. I have spliced those two things together, that movie and this program, at least at those sections. All right, how is your life today, sir?
It's colder than a witch's belly button out here.
All right. Where are you at?
Well, I went outside, so I wouldn't hear more griping about it. You got a bad connection.
Oh, that's right, because you were calling from deep inside the marble bowels of whatever building it is you're in.
Yeah, so now I'm calling from the corner of coffee people.
Fantastic. Are you surrounded by smokers?
Nah. too cold for them right now. It's too cold for smokers.
We got this great the smokers lounge here that's got frosted glass. Like all the doors and the windows are all covered with frosted glass so that no one can see their shame. And I walked in there the other day just to see what it was like, and it's not nearly as. I wish I hadn't gone in because the bathrooms here on the third floor are no longer working, so you have to go to the second floor to use their bathrooms, as we have well documented by this point. And every time you go to the bathroom, first of all, I mean. Not that I'm embarrassed of one's bodily functions, but I'm just saying, you go into the bathroom, you don't... When you walk into the bathroom, doesn't everybody have a secret hope that when you're going to get there, A, it's going to be empty, or B, if there's somebody in there, it's going to be somebody you don't know in any capacity?
I know everybody does it, but I don't need to go.
You're not Britney, you don't need to be announcing the airing out of anything, and so every time you walk to the bathroom here now on the second floor, there is a long caravan. A sort of baton death march style of salespeople walking to or from the bathroom. But I have to walk by the smoker's lounge every day, and I finally ducked in there today to see what it was like, and it's actually very small and depressing inside, and it just smells of curdled lung. So that's no good.
It's like my father's place.
Yes. All right, here's what we have today. Our good friend Lisa Goddard will be joining us on this very fine radio program. While I will try to pin her down on a date when her fiancé, Jason Sporbert, will join us on the radio program so that we can talk to him about this unfortunate business of his name. CBS engineers continue to get no work done as they pour the cream of their creative and engineering talent into designing a pyramid. By the way, I was driving past Pioneer Courthouse Square. I was yesterday, something like that. The driving by. That is a pretty large goddamn tree down there. That tree really... And I try to go down there for the lighting of the tree every year, and I didn't make it down because I was all busy and the whatnot, and they kind of sprung it on us. But I didn't really appreciate how high... I think Susan Reynolds may be a little bit off when she estimates the height of that tree being 70 feet. I think
that sounds about right.
I don't know. That's it. 70 feet is a lot bigger than it used to be. Then it seems like a very, very large tree.
Figure 70 feet is a seven-story building. So I mean,
is that true? Is a foot of a is a story in a building 10 feet?
Roughly.
I always figured that was a thing they just made up.
Huh.
Like a block. Do you ever do this? You notice in some neighborhoods in Portland, a block is like it's like 50 feet long. Other times, a block just goes on for like half a mile for no readily defined reason. Here's what else we have.
How is the shortest block in any city in the country?
In Portland?
Yes.
Why do you know things like this?
Well, I looked at the city. That was weird, random information they would feed us.
Okay. We will answer the question, what is worse than nails on a chalkboard? And we will tell a Rick Emerson listener what the hell he should do while he's in Des Moines. There you go. That's what we've got. I have a question. Is or is not Peter Jackson back on board directing The Hobbit?
Well, I mean, it's weird. The guy who actually owns the rights, some German guy.
Yeah.
Owns the official rights to all the Tolkien stories, and he sells them in like 15-year increments. So if nothing gets made in the next year, all rights revert back to him, and then he's going to foot the bill to have Jackson do it.
Well, it's not going to get made in the next year anyway, because I heard that Halo movie was back on.
I haven't heard that the Halo's back on yet.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard that the Microsoft had found some additional backer or something to get the Halo movie made with Jackson. Well, whatever. Anyway,
We're going to promote it for Halo 3.
So if it doesn't get made in a year, though, The Hobbit could be made theoretically. Because I was watching, this is what I've been doing when my wife's out of town. Not, you know, I could be drinking champagne from the slippers of Chorus Girls. Maybe, if I paid them. But instead, I'm just sitting at home and I'm watching Lord of the Rings all the way through with the commentary on. And that's a good, like, that whole box set, the Lord of the Rings, all three films, that's a good 64 hours of film.
You gotta watch it three times. Each one has, like, three different commentaries.
I haven't even made it all the way through there's, like, that commentary by the guy who, like, you know, the pottery maker who, like, you know, who creates a goblet or something for some scene.
Yeah.
There's that guy gets his own separate commentary. I've only barely made it halfway through the commentary with Peter Jackson, so.
Did you hear McKellen's interview about if Jackson was not to direct The Hobbit?
No.
McKellen, this is basically what he said. He says, well, if you line the feds to go ahead with Jackson, they can go get whacked.
Fantastic.
But I won't do it.
Excellent. I love you, McKellen. That guy's great. Yeah. All right, so where are we at, Pusher? With 63?
65, my friend.
65. All right, 65, which used to be the retirement age in this country. Now, what is it, Tim? What is the age for membership in the AARP?
50.
50, so there you go. 50 is the new 65. All right, 65 push-ups, and we will check in with our good friend Mailman Chris at the end of today's program and see where we are.
Got it.
All right, thank you, sir.
Yep.
There you go. Thank you, Aaron Geek in the city. That's Aaron Geek in the city.
Which means your average American is now spending their life not working.
Well, they used to be that you would retire at
65 and maybe live two more years.
And That's no longer. There was a big piece in the New York Times showing an increasingly frail and bald-headed James Taylor perched upon a stool somewhere in the Catskills, playing for an audience of wizened, aged baby boomers. This whole thing about baby boomers now. What is it? People over the age of 50. Now, they now represent something like 45% of all physical music purchases.
Yeah.
Because they're, quote, afraid of and confused by the internet. Which is a great, I love that notion. All right, we're joined today, as always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. You need to tear yourself away from the pictures of Britney's genitals.
No, I'm past that.
You're not. And if you were past it, you wouldn't have been angry. I heard you complaining to Scotty about it this morning. Scotty went, hi, Sarah, how are you? Britney's showing off her crotch again.
No, I'm just trying to find something else so that I can just stop the Britney Spears streak.
Yeah.
Oh, so bad.
Well, Michael Richards has been fairly quiet over the past couple of days.
See, there you go. There's your next reality program. You just get through the Michael Richards and Britney Spears and Mr. T. You just stick them all in a house together. We never did get to that Lindsay Lohan overdose story. So we can try to get to that today as well and just continue like the Pop Princess horror trifecta. So, anyway.
We are just like a bunch of gossipy little girls.
Well, what are you going to do? There is no real news. And all there is the war in Iraq. Nothing's happening there except the same endless slog that's clearly never going to be over. So, really, given the choice between talking about a horrific bloodbath in Iraq and Britney's vagina, it's not really... I mean, one is merely unpleasant. The other is actively horrific. I'll let you draw your conclusions.
One's more satisfying than the other.
Yes, well... Jim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
To the disappointment of all, Bill Frist will not run for president in 08. And Colin Powell agrees with NBC that Iraq is now engaged in a civil war. The U.S. is going to punish those savages in North Korea by forbidding the sale of iPods and plasma TVs till they smarten up.
Fantastic.
And yes, Britney continues to display her private womanly attributes in public places, including a gas station for free, but many are calling self-service.
Okay. Are you sure? Well, I don't know. I can't see the picture. Yes?
I want to do the... For Tim's self-service. You missed that joke. I thought you were distracted. That was gold.
I was going to say it one more time. I heard the self-service joke.
Self-service.
Oh, now you have to... Okay, to say
the whole thing again.
Read it again, and then we'll do the rim shot again.
Because that was a fleeting moment.
I was distracted by the thing.
It was my best one.
Okay, it's not that I don't listen. It's that I was distracted by... okay. Sorry.
By what?
Let's pretend that we didn't... Okay, let's just go back up.
All right, Tim Riley.
Britney continues to display her private womanly attributes in public places, including a gas station for free. That's what I call self-service.
Okay. Here's what I missed when you read it. I heard everything but the "that's what I call." That's why I didn't chuckle the way Sarah did. I missed that phrase somehow. I heard the beginning of it. I heard the final tag. I didn't hear the "that's what I call."
Well.
And comedy really is in the details.
He's a spinster of words.
Well, what happened was, usually I sum it up in one sentence, but that was one and a half sentences, so that's how I think I lost you.
The comedic beat was just a little bit, a little too unconventional for me.
On a typical day, I think you would have been paying attention, but since I went into a second sentence. Well,
since my very limited attention span was exhausted by the end of the first five words. No, I was just distracted by this email, because you were talking about Britney, and then somebody had emailed in and said, and I was going to say that I can't tell because the picture is way across the room on Sarah's screen. Mm-hmm. She said, are you sure that Britney's not just wearing hot pink panties or a flesh-toned thong?
It could be a flesh-toned thong, but I saw a close-up, which I didn't post, and...
Yes?
It's not all flesh-toned down there.
Where would she be buying a flesh-toned thong?
And what would be the purpose of that anyway? So, I know, and it's the sort of...
And I mean, if she's been doing it the past 2 days, why would she all of a sudden, you know...
Was it a gift she received from an admirer? Or did she buy it herself? Where might one purchase one?
I don't really know the answer to that. Okay. I really don't. It's just a thing that I never thought we'd be talking about.
Flesh-toned thong.
You know what this is like? This is like when I remember watching the NBC Nightly News in about, God, 98 or something. Was it Brian Williams at that point?
No.
Whoever it was?
He was still leaning over to the left on some cable channel that nobody was watching. like the furniture was missing some wheels. He was like leaning to one side.
Who was it that didn't lean to the left, but they always had to turn? Was it Brent Musburger? And Brent Musburger would always turn to the camera. He'd turn to the left and go, and this is CBS. Oh, God, the horror. No.
Maybe it is underwear. Gosh. I can't tell.
The best part, and
I
wish
know
you.
What's going
I wish
on
you
down
could.
There.
I wish we could. I don't know what's going on down there.
Probably nothing lately.
Man, you are. Do we have the rim shot again?
Yes.
You're fantastic. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming by. No, seriously. I just flew in from Atlanta. Boy, are my arms tired. Ah, you are really. You're batting 1,000 today.
I ought to start traveling with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman.
And Shecky Green. Yeah. I told Susan Reynolds we want to get Shecky Green on here. I want to do the whole. I'm trying to fit. And Bob Newhart, because everybody else
Bob
is
Newhart.
Dead. They're the last two. The best part, and I wish I had a photo of this, is that Sarah, her face is now about 6 inches away from the computer monitor, leaning in to get the closest possible look at what appears to be Britney's underneath the skirt, because you're
maybe
thinking
it is peach underwear.
But
I don't know.
It might be peach underwear today, but it wasn't peach underwear the other yesterday when there was the because there was sort of the.
It kind of makes you lose your appetite to eat in the microwave spring roll after this.
I was going to have this grilled cheese sandwich, but suddenly...
Okay, Rick. All right, let's stop.
Suddenly, it looks so unappetizing.
Okay.
You know what the grilled cheese sandwich is like? After looking at the Britney photos, it's as though... Did you ever see that Escher painting where it looks to be a picture of two black silhouetted faces kissing, but then
it's a
white candlestick? As the late, great Sam Kinison once said, the next time you take a good long look at your grilled cheese sandwich, you will think of this conversation. And you will recoil in disgust and outright horror. No, what I was going to say is I'm deeply ashamed and horrified by everything we do. We have some breaking news that we'll get to in Portland here in just a second, but I have to say this.
Somebody didn't jump off another building, did they?
No, but it's... I was about to say it's not quite that good.
It's compelling.
It is compelling. It's a different style of news. Yeah. We'll get to that in just a second. I was going to say, though, that here's how you... The thing about yesterday's Britney photos... And again, I can't just note enough just the surrealism that these conversations are now had, because this is what news is in America. This really is why the other countries both hate and love us. You know, like in Iraq, many of you show your ankle and they're out there like beheading your 15 closest relatives. Here, Britney, it's just that yesterday there was sort of a, what is that thing they say about brassieres? It both lifts and separates. Yeah, that's what I'm saying yesterday. That's how you know I wasn't a flesh-colored underwear yesterday. There was a little bit of... It is akin to how the good Lord parted the Red Sea. So that Moses might have passed through. Moses, in this case, being... No, it all falls apart there. Okay. Let me just very quickly... We have breaking news, apparently. This is from our good friend Dante, who is sort of a roving correspondent for the Rick Emerson Show in his cab. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. It's a big one this time. Down at Meyer and Frank.
Downtown or at Lloyd Center?
Downtown. The building is on fire. Literally. We've got 10 fire engines down there involved. We've got Fifth Avenue and Morrison Street blocked off all the way up to Alder Street.
Really?
Oh, the horror. Oh, the humanity. Flames everywhere. Stay away, stay away, stay away.
So this is... And did you drive by and see this?
This is coming across from the MDT, and they don't say these sorts of things unless this is real business. So this is courtesy of Radio Cab that I get this information.
All right.
It's serious. It's heavy down there.
So the story, so you should stay out of downtown at the moment. Apparently there's a, what did you say, a 10-alarm fire?
Yeah, I don't know about alarms, but there's like 10 fire engines down there putting this thing out.
All right, so the Meyer and Frank, which is no longer Meyer and Frank, right?
No, it's Macy's. Now Macy's, I believe.
So the Macy's downtown, which is right by Pioneer Courthouse Square, right? It's actually facing the tree, isn't it? Isn't that building that has the Wells Fargo in the corner on the Rite Aid?
Yeah, it's across the street.
Yeah.
Well, it takes up that whole city block.
All right. So apparently that building is on fire. So that's bad. So don't go down there. Stay away from that.
Was this the same one that flooded?
Yes.
Yep. Man.
Don't laugh.
It's under construction because they're building a luxury hotel on the upper floors.
Not anymore.
Stop. Stop. It's too soon. All right.
No, it's okay, but stay away from downtown. All right. Just steer clear of Fifth Avenue all right. altogether.
Duly noted. Thank you, sir. Nobody's left off of it, have they?
What's that?
Nothing.
Not yet, but right. If they do, I'll get patient.
Thank you. Okay. We're gonna end that now. There you go. CBS Radio Portland is deeply embarrassed by and ashamed of this program on all levels. All right. I didn't even get a chance to talk about anything else. Okay, we'll take it. Brittany's private area and a fire downtown have really consumed massive sections of this program already. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Lisa Goddard from CNN. Let's try to be done with the discussion of Britney Spears' baby birthing area
we'll
by the time that Lisa
we
gets on.
Talking about it, and then we'll continue.
We should completely... Okay, when we get Lisa Goddard on after this break, we should fabricate a great, like an intellectual discussion to be wrapping up when we bring her on.
Ooh, okay.
We can be a whole lot of it. So then I went Queen to King's Pawn 7. And the Sicilian opened, and then he castled, and then it was a stalemate.
And
then
Tim should discuss some like newsy stuff.
Let's discuss the intelligent and the current affairs of the world.
Well, I was just thinking that we just got those 20% off coupons from Macy's.
I know that was my first thought too.
Now what are we supposed to do?
We're going to have to go out to Lloyd Center.
Now it's just the building that's 20% off.
Oh, come on.
Oh, come on. That's funny.
If there are people in there, it's going to be a real tragedy.
There's nobody in there.
There's never anyone in that
Macy's.
There's nothing in there but memories of Christmas and past.
Oh, black and white pictures in the 50s.
Seriously.
Women with horn-framed glasses and hoop skirts sitting on Santa's lap. That's about all of it.
We're breaking.
Welcome to Macy's.
We'll be back after this.
Zero Emerson Radio. Rick, this email says, Britney is the new pink. Okay. Thank you, sir. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. Any number of emails here, all of which are probably inappropriate for a family-oriented program such as ourselves. 503-733-2970.
We're family-oriented?
Yes.
Okay.
We are. We're for the children and the people and so forth. You can also email, and so forth, and the whole... I'm sorry, I've lost my thing. I have a thing I was going to read, and now it's gone. And now I'm all sullen and besmirched.
Is it in your hand?
Oh,
a lot
yeah.
of papers.
Hello, there it is. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, From the Hill. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Hey, sister, what's up?
Hey, not much. How are you doing?
I'm okay, except I'm apparently losing my mind, and my brain is becoming a soft mess, just becoming a soft pile of mush that is incapable of calculating anything at all, because I was just looking for something, and it was in my hand the entire time, which gives
I do that with my sunglasses all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It gives me unpleasant flashbacks of my mother wandering around the house, glasses on top of her head for 45 minutes, saying, where are my spectacles? And, you know, and then we're all just kind of going, it's going to be sad when we have to put Mom in the crazy house. So,
prepare yourself.
Yes. No, I'm already, yes, I've, no, I've already told my, relatives what signs to look out for. the key things that I should be, you know, for danger signs. If I begin standing on the front of my, in front of my house with my pants up to my waist, you know, up above my waist with a garden hose yelling at children to get off my lawn, that they are just to take me and to put me in a small cage somewhere. So,
you know, you should run with this. You can start coming into the office now in your pajamas. That's what I say.
We had the best story today, and we'll get to it a little later on. It was an illustrator for Marvel Comics, a guy who was an illustrator for the X-Men comics. Ooh. And it's sort of a bittersweet story because he passed away at the age of, relatively young, 65. But the best thing is he was a comic book illustrator. They found him, I swear to God, this is in the story, dead in his Superman pajamas.
Oh.
That's how I want to go, right there. Just a bag of Cheetos in one hand, remote control in the other hand, in my faded and ripped Motley Crue shirt. That's how I want to die someday. So there's, you know, even if I don't really die that way, that's how I'm going to have my death reported. And then I'm going to have a talking tombstone, and it's going to be motion activated. And every time somebody walks over my grave or walks past my tombstone, it's going to say, like, ow, get off, really loudly and suddenly.
You can get those really cheap around Halloween time at Costco.
The other thing, and I was at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery not too long ago in L.A., and, I mean, they... L.A., they really are at the forefront of this kind of thing. Even in death, they lead the rest of us. They have taken it to a whole different level with these. I mean, there's headstones there that have got little embedded video clips that play.
What? Really?
It's true. No, you can get... there's several different things. They first of all, a lot of the celebrities, and this does seem to be a thing with Russian or Jewish Russian people, that when they die, they get these really exotic, over-the-top, like laser-etched family portraits of themselves done on the front of tombstones. I mean, this is not your grandfather's tombstone. Oh. This is a whole new generation. But they now do market, this is completely true, a tombstone in which you can embed... it's like one of those picture frames in the Harry Potter books, where, you know, it's like you pick up a newspaper or whatever, and there's a picture on the front, and in the picture, like, Sirius Black is moving around or something. You can now do this in tombstones, where you can get a small video clip embedded in there that either plays when people push a button or it's motion-activated. It can be videos of you at a happier time, presumably when you were alive, or a greeting to loved ones and family members and well-wishers who may stop by to pay tribute to your memory.
So are you looking at this? What's the cost? What's the wallet?
I have no, but I'm going to start saving now. I don't care how much I have to pay. I'll put it on my credit card. What do I care? I'll be dead. The question is just trying to figure out what my greeting should be.
Right. I mean, you could always go with the equivalent of the answering machine that's, hello.
I'm dead. If you leave a message, I may or may not get back
right,
to you.
Right, exactly. Do the creep. You could somehow it needs to be extra creepy, I think.
Or just... Like, if I had enough, have you thought about your epitaph, not to become overly morbid in this conversation? Because this is a thing people think about. They don't like to admit it. But let me just tell you this, Lisa Goddard, if
yes.
I could just completely derail this conversation once and for all. Who was the guy at CNN this morning? Some guy, Matt?
I don't know.
There was some new guy. It wasn't Laura, wasn't Tyler, wasn't Richard.
Oh, Matt Cherry at our CNN. Yeah, Matt Cherry.
So that's what we dealt with today. So I don't think Sarah's ever...
He was very nice. Except I do have a time limit to how long we were going to talk to you.
He wrote me. He said, they want you for 10 minutes. I said, that's odd. They never give a time limit. But it was on his end. He was the one with the clock.
No, I had no idea what to say. I'm like, 10...
No, he's new. He doesn't understand how we roll here.
Oh, he's probably got
show.
A clipboard and he's all gung ho.
No, we'll beat that right out of him. We'll break him of all this professionalism. Two things people think about that they don't really like to admit they think about. One, you do, and by you I mean everybody, myself included. Everyone rehearses what they are going to say or how they are going to react when prominent people in their lives die. There are people. I'm not probably different a little bit for everybody, but there is somebody in your life, maybe it's a celebrity, maybe it's somebody in your family, maybe it's a close friend.
Wonder, yes.
But you do think to yourself, what will I say when they come and ask me about the death of so-and-so? You probably do this as a journalist with certain celebrities. You have probably pondered. And again, I wish all elected officials in this great land a long life and the best of health. But I'm simply saying, heaven forfend, as our Latter-day Saint brothers say, if something were to happen, and I get perish the thought, if something were to happen to perhaps George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, another federally elected official, again, to whom I wish the best of health for all their remaining days, you have practiced what you would say.
Yeah, you know, this is where I really am a little freakish. I mean, when I'm walking home at night, I conjure up ridiculous scenarios that if they were to happen instantly, what would I say on air? What would I pick up my phone? Like I practice picking up my phone, picking up my camera phone so that I would get a shot of this event that is not actually happening while dialing in. You know, like I imagine, a handoff of a microfiche between spies that somehow I happen to trip up upon, and how would I report that? Yeah, so I do, in fact, think about the death instances as well.
Have you thought about this? Have you thought about what you would do, how you would react, what you would report if you were to see, witness, or hear about incontrovertible proof of alien intelligence?
Oh, wow. I haven't thought about that one, though. I need to.
All right. Let me ask you this.
It's going to happen someday.
You, Lisa Goddard, if I could give you your choice if I could give you your choice of two stories that you would be the first person to report on, and again, let's assume for the sake of argument that this is a story that no one would, again, it's irrefutable, that the proof is obvious to even the casual observer, there's no quibbling about whether it's a true story or not. What would you rather be the reporter who breaks the story of? Would you rather break the story of, let's see, would you rather break the story of alien life or Elvis actually still being among us and living?
Oh, wow. That's just, you know, I'm tending toward the Elvis because I'm worried with the alien life, there's going to be some little asterisk, and it's going to be actually little cells that are on the moon.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It couldn't be like an Independence Day where they come down and they, you know, they say Klaatu Varado or whatever.
We're talking about, like, you know, intelligent beings, life on other planets. We can communicate with them. Jodie Foster looking great. Then I would go with that. But otherwise, if we're talking about just the little, the organisms.
Let's say it's like a gopher. Let's say you could either break the news that there is a race of space gophers living on Venus, or Elvis living incognito in an apartment in Philadelphia.
Yeah, if I was going to get that Elvis interview, I may be disappointing people out there, but I would go with that.
I would totally go with that.
Elvis in the hand.
I would go with that. Here's why this is fantastic. The Elvis story would be great. Because I would love to see, because I do have this sort of perverse, I have this streak of sadism in me, which I know surprises no one who listens to this program. But I do love to see the media and people and pundits and figures of authority made to look very uncomfortable. And I would love to see, like, the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN and whoever all have to put on their front page that Elvis is alive.
That's right.
Just because it seems so ridiculous, I'd love to see them have to report it.
You know, I would really want to work it. I would really want to set it up so that Elvis actually came with me to a press conference.
Oh, come on. How great would that be?
Wouldn't that be great? You know, I have a little hat on him. And then, you know, we're talking about, oh, who knows, you know, something overseas. We're talking about some kind of trade deal. And then I raise my hand. I have a question. Did you know that Elvis is alive and this is him?
And then you just pull him out from right behind, like you have him covered with a cloak, and you pull it off, and there's Elvis.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
That's what I would like to do.
All right. Well, there you go. As ridiculous as talking about Elvis is, there is a little bit of actual news going on today. Some of it is just alternately ridiculous or irritating or infuriating, depending on what one's the political persuasion, I suppose. But President Bush, now correct me if I'm wrong here, he vowed, these are the words of CNN, President Bush once again vowed on Tuesday that he won't support the removal of U.S. troops from Iraq, quote, before the mission is complete, end quote. Now, I seem to remember him standing in front of a banner that said that the mission was not actually complete, but actually accomplished. And so my question is, you would think at some point that he would just have a sense of shame about this, that he would just feel embarrassed to be out there just saying such ridiculous half-truths and fabrications, or at least that they would be smart enough not to have him use the phrase, the mission is complete, when he already said like 3 years ago the mission was accomplished. So my question is, and I know there's a big question, but has he ever actually specifically defined what the mission is?
You know, they did come out with, earlier this year, their series of strategy papers that were basically were outlining the administration's goals in Iraq. It was nothing surprising. It was sort of vague, you know, stabilization of the country, an end to violence, those kinds of things. So they do have some goals that are clear, but they're very broad. And I think when it comes down to the rhetoric, you're right. They bring out that mission is accomplished bit, mission is completed thing. But they really like to use, and it's a bit safer for the president, until the job is done. I think that's what he said yesterday or 2 days ago. So that's not so blatantly ironic as the whole mission is completed bit. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if behind closed doors, they do bow their head a little bit, knowing that they are putting some heavy-duty spin on this war. But they've got to know that they don't have any other choice, really, at this point.
Let me ask you this. This is a thing that we sort of hear bandied about a lot, and I don't know whether it's true or not. You sort of hear a lot of people on the left, they recite this sort of bit of conventional wisdom that although Saddam Hussein was, as we are now legally required to refer to him, not a good guy, that at least the country was relatively peaceful because he kept the warring factions in line and so forth and blah, 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 blah. So is that true, or is that just some made-up liberal claptrap, that the country was relatively peaceful before we went in there and kicked everything over?
First of all, I didn't get the memo on the not a good guy.
No, that's what everybody says. Like, all the the Bill Press types in the world, they always go, well, clearly Saddam is a bad guy. They always say that before then excoriating the president for going in there.
Right, right. Clearly, Iraq was not an openly violent place of roving death squads, which is what it is today under Saddam Hussein. But there were death squads, and they were hidden. They were part of the government. Now, we may not be able to put together the exact totals of people who were killed by Saddam Hussein, but estimates are there in the hundreds of thousands, and that's exactly where the estimates are roughly. They swing wildly from about 100, even 30,000 all the way up to 600,000 for the civilians who have been killed because of this Iraq war. So it's hard putting those two right beside each other. I think there's probably more open fear, more open violence now. But then, you know, you look at any closed society, any brutal dictatorship in the 20th century, and Stalin in the Soviet Union comes right to mind. That was a very orderly society, but it was also a very threatening and very dangerous society to its own people, millions of whom were killed because of this one man's will. And so, I don't know, it really is a case of, for Iraqis, two very bad situations that they've had one right next to each other.
I always wonder, and the reason I ask that is because when the Bush administration, or who, to be fair, whoever, Tony Blair, whatever, it says, well, we need to restore order in Iraq, or we need to make that society run in an orderly and peaceful fashion. And I mean, it just, one hates to paint with a broad brush, but it does seem like perhaps that's a part of the world that just, you know, it's just... That whole carving up that happened in the 40s is just is such a weird and disruptive thing that it's just, you're never going to be able to put all those pieces back together again.
That's right. The whole beginning from World War I all the way to the end of World War II, the decisions that leaders made at that time, many of them not having a good deal of knowledge about the Middle East, are still haunting us. And that's, you're right, this is still a lot of the vestiges of those decisions. I think as far as Iraq goes, they had an orderly society. They don't have one now. They did not have freedom. They do have some freedom now, but the difficulty here is the violence in Iraq right now, that's what's limiting the freedom, not their own government, but the violence is eclipsing everything else.
Before we kind of head off in our separate directions today, because I know you got the other stuff here to do, but I do want to leave you with this, because Rick Emerson cares. I don't know if this is a thing that is sort of on your radar, but I'm always trying to tip you guys off to stuff that maybe is not widely spread. Now, are you following...
My notebook out here. All right, I'm ready.
Put your hat on this with your cub reporter's hat that is like the press pass in the brim. Are you following this guy, this congressman-elect Keith Ellison in Minneapolis, Minnesota?
Yeah, sure am. He's really interesting. First Muslim elected to Congress.
Now, is it true, and I hope it is, just so that I can hear my in-laws screech about this when I go to Provo this weekend. Is it true that when he is sworn into office, instead of using the Bible, he would be placing his right hand on a Quran?
Oh, you bring this up at the end. I had not heard that.
Okay, this is It is only... I won't even say a rumor. It's a thing that's been reported, but I don't know that it's been confirmed.
Right.
It says that Ellison, an African-American, will likely choose the Holy Quran when he is sworn into office whenever it is that happens.
Whenever there's a likely in a sentence, you know it's not been confirmed, but it sounds like he may have the option. Yeah, and see, you're right. This is all over the blogosphere.
Let's see.
Word I use all the time.
That's a word that I don't use.
No, I hardly ever use blog.
I don't say that. We don't say Tomcat on the show either.
You know, I don't know. I'll put a call into him and find out. I don't know the answer on that.
I'm just saying right there that whenever there is potential discord and entropy on the horizon, Rick Emerson is there.
Well, it's just funny that's the one issue everyone's pointing to. He's had a lot of interesting things to say, but... I guess if he swears an oath on a Quran, that's what's gonna.
That's what I'm saying. See, I know what people are gonna get all riled up about, and that, Lisa Goddard, is that. So,
thank you for bringing me into the news circle.
Think about all the things you didn't know at the beginning of this phone call that you now know. You know about this guy swearing in the Quran. You know what you would do in case of Elvis versus aliens, and you know that you can get a tombstone on which you're sort of sitting there in like a little 3x3-inch pixelated version of yourself, going, "Hi, thanks for coming by. I'm dead."
And I know that my producer, Matt Cherry, is going to be a different man at the end of the week.
Exactly. All right, Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Thank you, sister. We will talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go. Lisa Goddard, ladies and gentlemen, CNN radio correspondent extraordinaire. Woo. How great was that phone call?
It was good.
That's what I'm talking about. All right. This is going to be, and then we have to break here. And then we haven't gotten any... We're getting conflicting reports on this Macy's fire sale. I can't believe I just read that right off the email. That's somebody who emailed that to me. I did not use the phrase Macy's fire sale. I mean, I did, but only in the sense that I was reading it off an email that I did not pre-read. It's too soon.
Well, it's happening right now.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Too soon.
I guess it's a brand new Macy's, too.
Not anymore.
Sometimes I question whether or not you have a soul.
Not tonight, Bishop. This email.
It's like there are funny things like Britney not wearing underwear, and then
I don't even think it's really on fire. That's what I'm saying. I can't get it confirmed. Listen to this. This email says, Macy's. Sadly, no smoke visible from the top of Pill Hill. Even worse, no flames visible. Says this email. That's not me, and those are not my sentiments. And the email signs, I wanted to watch it burn. Sad face emoticon. So I'm saying a lot of people are saying that they don't see any fire, there's no flames, no nothing. That's what I'm saying. I don't believe that it's...
Dante saw 10 fire trucks outside. I'm
yeah,
sure,
but that guy's high. He's on crack. The wasn't it on fire like it was on fire the day, the election day, the day that Britney got divorced? So don't you think they would have fixed that by
flooded.
Now? But it started a fire because the flooding hit the electrical box.
That does seem to be a warning sign.
Like maybe the mob didn't get the job done the first time. Nice Macy's you got here. Be a shame if something would have happened to it.
And it's always, it was on a Wednesday, no, it was on Tuesday, I was going to say, it's always in the middle of the week.
We've got I am looking at the Macy's, I don't see any flames, I don't see any smoke.
Do you see I wonder if people are going in and out.
Well, here's one. Rick, dude, I didn't want to pull a Paramount Hotel off the 7th floor, so I didn't put my dome? I think he means dome. So I didn't put my dome out far enough out my, there's all kinds of syntax going on in this email. So I didn't stick my head out the window far enough to see what's up down the street. Pleased to report there's a bunch of red trucks with yellow, red, and blue flashing lights. And then he says, these are not the sentiments of the Rick Emerson Show. He says, I urge all of your Rick's listeners to get to 5th and Alder right now, ASAP, and loiter around. We would have heard about it from, so there's one guy saying he saw a fire truck.
Who knows? You know, we still haven't heard anything about the jumper guy.
There's,
maybe
from the Paramount.
To know. Yeah.
There are no jumpers today that we know of. As of yet. It's not even noon, though. Okay. The only thing I'm going to say is, and as I brought this, you heard Seeds, did you hear that? Lisa Goddard, she knows a good story when she hears one. She say, why
I think
you
guys might be soulmates in a strange way.
Well, those are your sentiments, Sarah Dillon.
Sure.
It would be improper of me to weigh in.
Yes, you being a married man and all.
Of course. Well, she's engaged to Jason Sporbert.
Against all odds.
No, but how great is this story? That this guy... Congressman, please let it be true. Congressman-elect Keith Ellison, who is the, I believe he is he the first or the, I guess, currently only Muslim to be in Congress. I don't know if he's the first, but he right now is the only Muslim. And isn't that amazing? I don't care, but it's just kind of is amazing that in 2006 in this nitwit country of ours, that a Muslim would get elected to Congress. It is kind of staggering. But this is so great. Ellison, an African-American and Muslim, will likely choose the Holy Quran instead of the Bible when he is sworn into office. Oh, makes me all tingly just thinking about it. Oh, it's fantastic. You know, because that's just, boy, you want to talk about a thing that's going to engender all kinds of hate. Fantastic. I love this world. All right. Are we breaking? Let's break. Shall we? 503-733-2970 around the corner. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. What else? Later on, we'll talk to Snoop Dogg was arrested again. He was just arrested, speaking of things that just happened. Wasn't he arrested it with a big black expanding baton? He's smuggling his big black rod through airport security. Just again, last night he was arrested.
You and the crotch jokes today.
I'm not talking about his crotch. I'm talking about his expandable big black rod.
Oh, sure. Wasn't it like 24 inches?
Back after this. Stay there.